I was flipping through the channels this last week on my TV, and I came across a show that I've heard about and I've seen little bits and pieces of before, but I decided I'm going to sit down and watch a show. It was called Hoarders. Have you ever seen this show on TV? It's on a cable channel like TSI or something like that. Anyways, it was a cable show. Hoarders. Have any of you heard of that show, what it's all about? Okay. Well, the premise of the show is that there are people around in our country that just collect things and just doesn't like to throw things away. They just keep hoarding things, and their house is just a total mess. They have piles of stuff all over the place, whether it be books or some people have newspapers, collect their newspapers. Other people just collect trinkets and just odds and ends. Other people, you know, don't even throw away their trash. And so they have piles of milk cartons, and their refrigerators are full of food that is all rotten and gross. And they even have food around their house. It's just, then they have problems with mice and all this. It's just a show about these people that hoard people, that hoard. They want more. They don't want to throw things away, even garbage like milk cartons and empty food or empty rotten food. They live in a house with piles and piles of stuff that they hardly have room to walk in. In fact, they have a narrow pathway sometimes that you can just squeeze through sometimes to get to your bedroom or to get your bed or whatnot. And this show confronts these hoarders and helps them and kind of helps them to understand what this hoarding means to them and their families, because it takes advantage of their families and whatnot, and their families just don't want to come over. One show had a son that was taken away because of the hoarding. And anyways, they bring family members and counselors in to try to help these extreme hoarders. They help clean things out, help the hoarders to realize, hey, this is just stuff. You can throw some of it away. It's not needed. You're not going to use it. All that kind of thing. It helps those people to live a more meaningful life. And depending on the person, there's some people that are more successful at getting over this hoarding addiction, I would call it. Than others. You know, some say, well, I've always been a hoarder, I always will be a hoarder, and if you throw away all this stuff, I'll just collect it. And they bring a show back, you know, then they show the before and after, and eventually the after turns bad. But to some extent, people are successful. They just want to hold on to this. But I think the need to hold on to things is something that's kind of inbred in all of us in some extent. Maybe not to the extent that we see on these shows, but I think all of us, if we admit to ourselves, time to time, think we need to hold on to certain things and not let go of what we have. Well, we've been going through a series here this last 2 weeks now, and this will be the third week, about a series which I called, What Do We Have for God? What do we have for God? In the first 2 weeks, we talked about our talents and our time that we can give to God. Well, this week, we're going to talk about our treasure, and then next week, we're going to conclude with our thanks. I got that up there so we have all the T's up there. I went to seminary, so I make sure all my alliterations are proper there. But that's what we talked about, our talents, our time, today our treasure, and next week our thanks. But you know what many people think when they think about a pastor when he talks about money? What do more people think? Oh no, the pastor's going to talk about money this Sunday. What do most people think? Well, I think most people think, the pastor's talking, he just wants more money. It's just one of those things that pastors want, whether it be televangelists or big church pastors, that's all I seem to talk about is just money. People think, oh, I came and visited and all the pastor talked about was money. And that's true sometimes. Some churches do that, but it's not always money this or money that. And I always seem to reply, well, Jesus talked a lot about money too, if you read the Bible. And they, of course, don't believe that. But I usually try not to talk about money every Sunday. But I try to every once in a while, every year, year and a half or two, I try to do a sermon specifically on money. So I don't always talk about money. But as I was looking through Jesus' parables, there's about 40 parables in the New Testament about Jesus that Jesus gave. And about half of them actually have to do with money. Count them out there. About half of them are about money. But then the second thought goes through people's minds. When a pastor starts talking about money, they say, the church is in trouble. There's financial trouble. They're going into debt, and so therefore they want some more money. And I just want to reassure you right now that neither one of those cases are true. I'm not just talking about money every week, but it's The church is also not in financial difficulties. I will tell you a little bit later on that the giving out this year has been a little down, and our expenses have been up. But as I'll tell you later on, God has provided for us in this church. And since I've been here, our income has been more than our expenses. And so why am I preaching on money then? Why am I doing a sermon on stewardship this time of year? And like I said, I like to every so often preach on money because, again, Jesus has preached on money many times in the Bible. It's an important issue that has strong spiritual implications. Like I told the children this morning, money is not just money. It's what our heart is all about. So we need to remind ourselves how to deal and treat money because it's always a heart matter. We need to be reminded every so often about our spiritual lives as it deals with money and our spiritual walk and how God has given our stewardship over this. And so, I'm just looking at my next slide there, and it's the slide from last week, so I somehow didn't get deleted out last week. Anyways, so because our time and our talents, we talked about last week, and our money, Jesus also wants us to be such stewards of our treasures. And so this morning we're going to look at a parable in Luke chapter 12. So if you have your Bibles, open to Luke chapter 12. I'll also have it up here on the screen. Jesus starts off saying, or actually someone else in the crowd says to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me to be a judge or an arbiter over you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist of the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. "The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, 'What should I do? I have no place to store my crops.' Then he said, 'This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and goods. I will say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this night, this very night, your life will be demanded of you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be for anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God." As I was looking at this parable this last week, I came up with three things that I've learned from this parable that we can study about this morning. First thing is that there's more to life than treasure. There's more to life than treasure. Jesus is preaching to a large group in chapter 12 here of Luke. He's right in the middle of the sermon when a man interrupts. "Hey, Jesus, by the way, can you tell my brother to give me my inheritance?" It's not a question. It's not even really a statement. It's a demand, really, from this unknown person in the crowd. He says, tell my brother to give me my money. And while it was not uncommon in those days for rabbis, which Jesus was doing in those days, to make decisions like this, this is not really a way to approach the rabbi. I mean, the way Luke stages this question in the crowd, it just seems like this guy is just out in the crowd somewhere. There's a large crowd at the verse 1 of chapter 12, and he just shouts it out. He does not come to Jesus closer and try to take Jesus aside to discuss this matter with him. He doesn't ask him in a more personal setting. He just interrupts with this demand. And he really isn't asking Jesus to be a judge here. He's saying, "Hey, rule in my favor." He wants the judgment to be for him. He wants him to be out on top. He's almost childish about this, saying, "Oh, give me what is mine." I often hear this at my house, too. I often hear, "Hey, Dad, tell Sam to give me this toy that he took," or "Tell Aaron that I need my blanket back," or whatever it is. You know, "Dad, you just tell him what to do." Because he's not saying, "Hey, Dad, someone took my blanket. Could you please help me in this situation? Could you deal and judge between it?" And sometimes when they come to me, I'm not really sure what to say because I say, "Well, who had it to begin with? Who had a toy to begin with? And why was he playing with it? Should he have been playing with it?" And so it's just a demand. "Tell him to give me this. Tell him to do this." And so I pull my hands and say, okay, what do you want me to do sometimes? Because this man was not concerned about a fair hearing. He was just concerned about money. He was looking for treasure. He was being greedy about the things of this life. And so Jesus tells him, and the rest of the crowd apparently, because he says this all to them, how important it is about not being greedy. That things on here on earth should not just be considered treasure. Our lives are not to be worth more than treasure. Our lives, there's more to life than treasure. That's what I'm trying to say. Just like it's up on the board there. You see, worldly possessions and things are nice. They're nice to have in our lives, but they should not be the focus of our life. There's more to focus on than just being getting more. I remember a study a few years ago where they said to some people, you know, do you think you're rich? They earn like $50,000 a year. Are you a rich people? Do you consider yourself rich? No. Well, what would you consider yourself to have? What would you have to make in order to feel rich? Well, I would have to probably make $100,000 for me to think I was rich. And so they said, okay, let's ask the people that have $100,000. Are you rich? No. What would you like to have? What would you think you would need in order to become rich? Well, $250,000. And so they asked the $250,000 people the same questions. Are you rich? What would be to make you rich? Well, maybe $1 million would mean I'd be rich. And it goes on and on and on. And no one said that, oh yeah, I make this amount of money, I'm a rich person. No one said that. They said, oh no, that person above me would be the rich person. The one that makes a little bit more than me. They're rich. But we're never rich ourselves. It's all about making more. No one said that they're rich than themselves. See, that's the problem with treasures here on earth. They're never enough. We always want more. We say, oh, we're not rich. We're just getting by. If I would make this much, then I'd be rich. But then when you get to that point, if you would ever get to that point, you'd eventually say, well, I'm not rich now either, even though I thought I would be back then. We always need to make more. We don't stand back and see that what we have is enough. And the more we get, what's the problem when we get more? The more we have to worry about. The more we have a chance to lose something. You know, the more we have in our money, in our stocks, in our bonds, the more we lose when those stocks and bonds go down. And the more we have to worry about. And the more we worry about things, the less we think about who? God. When we have our worries about all this money that we might lose, all these things that we might not have anymore, the less we think about God, the less we place our trust in God. Life is more than the money we make or the amount in our bank accounts. This is one reason why Jesus talks so much about money. He knows how much our focus can be diverted from him to the things we have, to the things in our bank account, to our bills. We never have enough. And so we need to ask ourselves every so often these important questions. You know, what if I would die today, what would be left behind for others? You see, this man's going to be held account for his life. He's going to see that life is worth more than the things we have here on earth, our treasures here on earth. Life involves more than making sure that your life is lived. It's not in vain. So we need to ask ourselves a question. Who is going to remember me when we are gone? Why are we striving so hard for things that we are going to lose? What's the point of making more and more? It reminds me of a story that I got from the Daily Bread here this last week. It tells of a story of a rich industrialist who was disturbed to find a fisherman sitting lazily beside his boat. "Why aren't you fishing out there today?" he asked. "Well," the fisherman said, "because I've caught enough fish for today." "Well, why can't you catch more fish than you need?" the rich man asked. "Well, what would I do with that then?" "Well, you could earn more money," the rich man said, or the industrialist said. "You could buy a better boat. You could go on deeper and catch more fish. Maybe you could even purchase nylon nets and catch even more fish and make more money. Soon you'd have a fleet of boats and be rich just like me." And the fisherman asked, "Well, what would I do then?" "Well, you could sit down and enjoy life," said the industrialist. "What do you think I'm doing now?" the fisherman replied, looking out at the ocean. You could sit down and relax, but life is more than just money. Is that how you see your treasure? Maybe you see life as an endless pursuit of making more and more. Maybe you've gotten that cycle of wanting to get that need. But Jesus reminds us time and time again that our life is more than just the treasures that we have, more than the things in our own barns. We have only one life to live, and when that's over, our money will not help us. There are no people in heaven who are rich. They're all the same up in heaven. Where there's no poor people in heaven, there's no rich people in heaven. We all have the same money in heaven, so why do we make such a big deal of it here on earth? And that leads us into the second point that I remember this morning. Not only is there more to life than treasure, there's more to treasures than the things here on earth, than the earthly things. Now, I've noticed something about this passage this last week that I had not seen before, that I had really not noticed. This man's treasure here was not gained by anything he did. Did you see? Have you noticed that before in this parable? We often get the image that he's tearing on these barns and storing more buildings and whatnot, but we forget, where did the surplus come from? Did it come from a new field that he planted? Or did he plant more the previous spring and he had a larger crop then? Was he responsible for this? No, Jesus starts off this parable saying, the ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. That's what it says there in verse 16. It's the ground. This man just had a bumper crop. And because of this increase, he was forced to look at things in a different way. He says, I don't have the room for it now. Apparently, he did not put any extra effort in the field. The field was not made bigger. The seed was just as what he normally had planted. But the crop, because of factors outside his control, just so happened to produce a greater increase than he had previously received. And because of this increase, he was forced focused more on this earthly crop than the treasures of God. In fact, Jesus talks many times about not worrying about treasures on earth or trying to focus on things beyond this earth, the treasures that are more spiritual. In fact, in the same context, in the same sermon, Jesus had just finished talking about what your life should be like. At the beginning of chapter 12, it says, I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who can kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after killing the body, has the power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you to fear him. You see, there's more to our treasures than just being here on earth. Because earth is not the end of all things. There's a spiritual realm. There's a heavenly realm. We need to worry about our treasures in heaven. Jesus will say in Matthew 6, famous Sermon on the Mount, do not store up treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You see, Jesus talks a lot about where your heart is, there's your treasure is. In fact, in Mark's gospel, a rich young ruler comes to him and says, what can I do to inherit heaven, eternal life? Well, I'll keep the commandments, he says. But, I've done that. But Jesus tells him in Mark chapter 10, one thing you lack, go and sell everything you have and give to the poor. Then you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. You see, and this man went away sad because he had great wealth, it says. And later on in the sermon here in Luke that we just read from the parable, Jesus will go on and say, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses that will for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near or no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You see, there's spiritual treasure that we need to gain. And like earthly treasure, we just can't just inherit it. No, we have to earn it, invest in it. It's something we need to take time and energy and work. So what are some spiritual treasures that we can invest in? Well, talking to others about Jesus, planting those seeds in other people's hearts, using our time and our talents and even our treasures for eternal benefits, supporting ministries and churches and missionaries that tell people and spread the gospels where others cannot. I got another story here from Our Daily Bread again. I've found a lot of these this last week. It was very nice. It says, people love to collect things, from baseball cards to stamps to coins. And while collecting things is a fun hobby, it's sobering to think that once we leave this earth, everything we own becomes part of someone else's collection. What value would it be to have collected much on earth, but little or nothing in eternity? Jesus had something to say about this. Speaking to his disciples, he said, lay up treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves don't break in and steal. Eternal treasures never lose its worth. They can never be spoiled or stolen. And just think, we can actually stockpile them in heaven. How? Through acts of service, through leading others to Jesus, by being compassionate to those in need, by living according to the will and way of Jesus. In Mark's gospel, we read that the Lord tested the young man's ruler's heart when he asked him to sell all he had and give to the poor. This was a test to follow him. But the ruler's response revealed what he really valued, not those treasures in heaven. It's easy to become enamored with earthly stuff, earthly side stuff, I should say. But when you make a choice to follow Jesus, he'll show you the joy of collecting eternal treasures. Become a collector of those things. See, we collect so many things here on earth. Are we really collecting things that are worth things in heaven? Now, I told you this morning at the beginning of the message, I'm not preaching this sermon because of churches in financial troubles. I will say we are in the red this year, though. About $37,000 in the red this year so far. However, as I look back, $44,000 was a surplus from 2018. At the end of 2018, we had a surplus of $44,000. And so since I've been here for these 18 months, we've not gone into the red. Now, we're heading in that direction, but I just want to assure you that the church is still in good condition. We have savings accounts and investments elsewhere, but we need to start asking ourselves, where are our treasures being stored? That is not to say we shouldn't continue giving. We should do that. I'm going to ask each one of you, to, as you start looking at your budget, we've been looking at the church's budget this last year, to think about what we might be able to cut in things. What can each of you look in your budgets to see what you're doing to invest in God's gospel, God's glory? Asking yourself, what can you contribute, not just to this church, but to the ministry that God wants to produce through us? We can always use more money in God's church. Again, we're not rich. No one's rich. But I want you to know what your investment has returned so far. Last week, three young people asked Jesus into their heart in Sunday school last week. That's an eternal investment. That is what your money has done just this last week. Three lives for the kingdom. Praise God. There's more to life. There's more to treasures than just earthly treasures. There's spiritual treasures. But finally, we need to focus on our life as well. There's more to earthly things than our own lives. You see, here we come full circle. Because there's more to things here on earth than our lives ourselves. And this is what most people think when they think about this parable. That's what I come with this parable about. When I think about this parable, I think, oh, this guy is a selfish person. He thinks only about himself. In fact, I'm sure this is one pointed out before, but notice how many times it says I or me or mine in this parable. It says, he thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. I'll say to myself, I have plenty of good years laid up. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. These are mine. You see, when he got the surplus, he didn't think about others. He didn't think about other people. He, again, had no initiative of his own. This was just a bumper crop. But what happened, just so happened his crops were larger than expected. So what is his first thoughts when he had this bumper crop? All about me, all about self. But there's more to earthly things than our own lives. He did not think, I got all these good things. I got all these extra things. What can I do for others? No. He says, he didn't think, well, maybe there's someone else that can benefit from my good fortune. Maybe there's someone else that can I can give this extra away to. Because he was rich to begin with. I mean, he already had wealth. He already had these barns that were apparently full already. He was rich. He had enough grain for himself. Enough things to keep him wealthy in his existence. But apparently, he did not come from a background where he thought, well, I need to save it for a rainy day. He just was one of those guys that wasn't his motive to get more money. He just says, hey, I just want to spend it on myself. He did not think there might be a rainy day coming ahead. And Jesus doesn't picture him as having a fluctuating income, you know, one of those that, well, I'm not sure if I can give more because, you know, I'm not sure where I'm going to be. I can understand that idea, that unstable financial background. But I could understand that saving for a rainy day is a good thing. But this was not the case for him. He's a wealthy man. No cares in the world, especially for his future even. And this is another illustration of the daily bread that I got from this week. A man boasting about his wealth. It says, one of my favorite stories is about a Texas rancher who was doing agricultural consulting for a farmer in Germany. So it's a Texas rancher going to Germany. And the German farmer asked him, this man from Texas asked the German farmer about the size of his property, to which the man replied, about a square mile. Oh, that's great. So when the German asked the Texan about the size of his ranch, the rancher explained this. He said, if I got in my pickup truck at dawn and drove until sunset, I would still be on my own ranch. Not be outdone, the farmer says, well, you know, I used to have an old truck like that too. Where does this boasting go? Anyways, thinking about all that is me. This man here in this parable was thinking about his own possessions, about himself. But there's more here on earth than our own lives. There's others around us, others who are put on our way, opportunities that we have, like I mentioned last week, that we can give to others. There's others who benefit from our talents and our time and even our treasure. But there are also times when God wants us to use the money that he's given us to help others. That will have a heavenly benefit. And I think God brings those times along with us sometimes, especially when he blesses us unexpectedly, financially. Sometimes God blesses us financially just to test us. Now, where are you going to put that money that I give you extra? You see, we can always say, oh, God's blessed me with this extra. I'm going to just spend it on me. I deserve it. I know when we sold our house this last year, we were anticipating a certain amount. And actually, the Lord blesses and said, okay, I'm going to give you a little extra. And so we were tempted. My wife and I were very tempted as we talked about it. What are we going to do with this money that we really, you know, we needed this amount to pay off a mortgage? What are we going to do with the extra? Well, we're going to need a car. We're going to need these things. But then we thought, you know, there's some people that we need to help. And so with some of the money that we used when we sold our house, we gave to other people. And say, hey, here, we know you need it more than we do. And I think sometimes God does that to each of us every so often. Brings us an extra amount of cash. Maybe it's an extra tax refund. I know it's not that time of year for tax refunds. But for tax refunds, sometimes you think, oh, I might get a little bit back or I might have to pay a little bit. But God says, okay, this year, somehow, for some reason, the financial things happen and you're going to get a bonus on your tax return. What are we going to think about that? You know, I know what I think about sometimes when I think of my tax returns. I think, well, you know, I already paid my tithe on that already, right? I paid my tithe on my gross, and I paid some of that to the government, and the government I gave it to them too much, but I already paid my tithe on that tax, or those taxes, and so when I get that surplus back, that income, that tax refund, it's mine, because I already gave some of that to God. And I selfishly sometimes think, oh, this is mine to spend. Well, God might be telling us to say, hey, that extra might be something that we can use for others. Or when we get someone's inheritance, and we think, wow, all this unexpected money. Do we often think of ourselves? Or do we think about giving it to some charity or to a church? And so I want you to kind of think about those things in our future as things happen in your life. When God says, hey, I'm just going to bless you this time with an extra tax refund or this little inheritance or maybe I don't know, some other resources that God gives to us unexpectedly. Someone sends us a check in the mail or something that we don't need to spend for ourselves, that we have it already. Maybe that's just a test to bless others. So there's more to this earth than just than our lives, than our own selves. And so that's what we can learn this morning. In fact, it goes full circle because it starts with our life is worth more, or there's more to life than treasures. There's more to treasures than our earthly. There's more to earthly than life. And then you go right back to the beginning. There's more to life than treasures. You see, as you look at this parable, what it means to us, we can understand how we need to be good God's stewards. Because there is more to life than our treasures. That our life should be more than the money that we make or the money that's in our account or how wealthy we think we are or not. That there's more to our treasures than the earthly things. That we should be looking for heavenly wealth. The things that won't rust and corrode and go bad or get lost here on earth. To seek to store treasures on heaven and by letting others know about Jesus. And there's more than our life, or more than the earth than our life, live selfishly. Look how we can minister to others. Look how God can allow us to just see his blessings as we give. I think that's very important. That's the importance of giving. Paul says we should give with a grateful heart. That we should give gratefully for what God has done for us. Because that's what God has made us stewards of to begin with. It's not his money. It's not our money, I should say. It's his money. He just says, hey, I just want you to be stewards of it. Just as I'm allowing you to be stewards of your talents, as I'm being stewards of your time. You can be stewards of your money as well. After all, he wants first place in our lives. It's all about the heart. Where is your heart when it comes for Jesus? What do we have for God? I think that's something we should ask ourselves daily. What do we have that we can bless God with this morning?